Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Okay, so there is like a movie that is just sweeping pop culture discussion, and you have not seen it, but three of your friends have, and they want to teach you what happens in it, and they want to force you to do it on mic, so you have to listen the whole time, and they're going to quiz you on it afterwards because this is some kind of fucked up world we live in, where you have to prove your worth. So you're stuck and they're going to talk at you about this movie and then you have to try and say what happens in it. What do you do?
This is Same Day Shipping, the show where we geek out over real love and fake relationships. I'm Colin.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Patrick.
Yeah, that's most of it, except you didn't say the part where we're going to also tell you lies. And you have
that's
to
true. Some of it will be. So, yeah, there's an added quiz element to it.
Because we're talking about Wonder Woman 84, WW84.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Woo! World War 84.
Yes. It was. I never really thought that about it leading up to it until they started like, the opening credits, when you see WW84, I was like, oh, is this a different movie than I thought it was going to be?
Wait, really?
I never put together that those initials meant World War.
Oh.
So, well, like, it was weird the way they did it, how they were like, boom, boom, 84. So it's like, it made you think.
World War II?
What?
No.
Well, it's also just, before we started watching the movie, Sarah was like, is there a reason that it's set in the 80s? Like, I get why the first one was set in World War One, but like, is there an event that we're driving towards in 1984? And the answer, of course, is no.
Well, there was a huge event in the movie. Remember, every single person was given a magic wish.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, hold on.
Every single person in the world. You don't think people are going to remember 1984 forever in the world of DC Extended Universe?
And talk about it in all the other movies?
Of course, because that was the day that someone went on every single TV, every single computer, every single screen, even though the internet doesn't exist yet, every single screen had a man saying, make a wish.
Yeah.
Wait, so, okay, hold on. Before we get too deep into this.
I mean, we are in it now, Kelly.
Heard truths and lies.
We're already 2 hours into it.
This is what I know about the movie, just so you guys will know.
Let's get a baseline.
I can tell you if you're telling me lies. based off of these things that I know.
Okay.
Like, Kristen Wiig is in the movie, and Chris Pine is in it for, like, maybe part of it. And Kristen Wiig is selfish, so, or greedy, so she becomes a cheetah. And that's what I know.
Okay, so far, so, we've told you truths and lies, and you've now told us truths and lies.
That's right.
What?
I particularly like the part, I mean, because you know the character that Kristen Wiig is playing, right? She's the greedy cheetie.
Yeah, she's greedy cheetie. She, she's like wearing glasses at the beginning, but then she turns into a cheetah.
Yeah, she's
kind of like Catwoman.
She starts with glasses, and then she gets a smoky eye.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it just keeps getting smokier.
And it gets smokier and smokier until she doesn't need the glasses.
Right. So the thing is, the wish, like, through line, there is a through line of wishes throughout the whole movie where everyone gets to make wishes. And it's sort of like, I guess, what is it, allegorical? Where you got to be careful what you wish for? I don't know what they call those stories.
I think
that's like a morality tale.
Yeah, that is the allegory. But there's also a lot of things that are literal that in other stories would be metaphorical.
Well, but also hold on, because the message isn't be careful what you wish for. It's don't wish. Because it's not a monkey paw situation where, like, your wish is granted, but it's granted ironically. Your wish is granted, and then something unrelated bad happens to you.
The person offering you the wish may be evil.
Well, but even when it's not a person, even when it's a stone, it's evil.
Now,
guy's a stone.
Okay. So
the bad guy is a stone.
Okay. So I will say that at the beginning of the movie, we are told greatness is not what you think.
Okay.
I don't know that the movie answers the question of what is greatness.
Mm-mm.
But we know what it's not.
But we know what it's not what you think.
So, Kelly, what do you think greatness is?
Like in the world of this movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonder Woman.
I mean,
84.
I'll tell you right now, you're wrong.
So here's what I bet it is, that Wonder Woman, she's not all she's cracked up to be.
No, that's not really a theme of the movie.
Really.
See, greatness isn't what you think.
Oh, but
okay.
I thought it was like maybe that she's flawed in a way that we don't realize.
Kelly,
what?
In this movie,
what
Wonder Woman cheats at a race.
Like, because she's
by
nature of being Wonder Woman?
No, she stumbles, she makes a mistake, and so she then just flat out cheats. She takes a shortcut when everybody else is on the racetrack, and she does her own thing. She cheats.
Well, greatness is not what you think, Ryan.
Well, this is how she learns it. Which, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting point. Couldn't the lesson be that if she was allowed to cheat and win, that, like, wow, that's not what I thought greatness was? That kind of fits the narrative a little cleaner.
Who's she racing?
Other Amazons.
What is that?
Amazones?
Amazonians.
That's what you call them in Amazon times.
Amazones.
Amazon.
It's a regional dialect.
So she's back at Themyscira?
Mm-hmm.
She's back at Themyscira, and she's racing against a bunch of children.
Yeah. It's like a spring. It's like not
Why
spring
is she
break,
participating
but
in this race?
To be like an example, she like goes and like it's the annual child race. and so she goes to be like an example of like, well, I won this when I was a child. But then she ends up like the kids are beating her. So she tries to cheat against all these little kids.
Yeah, because that's the only way that she can make the paint explode, which is how you know.
I forgot about that. Yeah,
we got into a little bit of an argument about the paint exploding while we were watching.
I think I don't know. I didn't tell you, Kelly. I rewatched part of this movie this morning, so it would be fresher in my mind.
Okay.
And the paint thing makes more sense the second time.
I think I got it.
I
would guess that the paint is just. I also have no context for what the fuck anybody's talking about, but. I would guess that the paint like explodes when people pass certain checkpoints, so you can see when people are passing certain checkpoints, like when the first person
exactly
passing certain
except
checkpoints.
Add arrows,
yeah,
like
because it's your job to use your archery to make the thing explode as you pass the checkpoint.
Oh, so you have to carry a bow and arrow on you?
Yes,
but you encounter the bow and arrow like as you go,
mm-hmm. So it's like a scavenger hunt race.
Yeah, there's some scavenging. There's some
this
swimming.
Is like Amazing Race. Mm-hmm.
You know what it's like? And I don't think I picked this up because I was still excited about the movie at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was going to be in for a good time with my friends. And it was pretty good time. It's fine. It's very American Ninja Warrior.
Oh, so there's climbing and parkour type situations.
It's that kind of thing. But it's weird because they all are magic people.
So why can't they just like fly or whatever?
Well, sometimes they do. I think that's...
We will get to flying.
Wait, so some people can fly?
We'll get to it.
Some people can do whatever the fuck they want, apparently. That's what I learned from this movie.
Wait, so is Wonder Woman one of the people that can fly?
Well, okay. I kind of want to talk about the airplane before we get to
Wonder Woman. There's a whole flying arc.
Well, so wait, hold on. I want to throw the brakes on for a second just because, we have told some lies now.
Yes.
Should we
check in and see if Kelly clocked any?
Yeah.
How the fuck am I supposed to clock any of these lies? It all sounds like nonsense. Okay, I don't think that there's a bow and arrow. I think that they just run and the paint explodes. I don't know.
The most reasonable thing that we've said.
God damn it. Okay, they're not children. They're old people.
There
racing.
We go. She's a child and she's racing against adults.
Oh, so this is a flashback.
Yes.
This is why she's in Themyscira?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so
this feels like a mean game.
It does feel like
one of those
game.
Fucking puzzles where they put a different image on the box than you're supposed to solve.
Here's what I'm saying. I don't think it's mean being the person that that this is, but this could be a Flowers for Algernon situation where like all of you guys are laughing and I'm just like, everyone's laughing, so I'm gonna laugh.
Okay, I'll stop laughing.
No, but I don't feel hurt.
Okay, so
fine.
Like as you clocked, there is a flashback. Do you know how we transition from the flashback to the present?
Do we zoom in on her fucking eyeball or something and then zoom out and she's adult?
No, we cut to modern times and hear Pedro Pascal say over the VO, "Welcome to the future."
Oh, it's not Pedro Pascal. It's...
No, that was 100%
some other
true.
Guy. Okay.
No, it is Pedro
That's
Pascal.
Just a dumb thing in this movie that I don't think I clocked the first time I saw it, but I took notes on the second because that's pretty, clunky as hell.
Yeah.
No, but Mogi, you see, because the audience is now being brought into the future.
Which
I don't
is
know,
still
so it's like
36
a double
years
meaning.
In the past.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, maybe it could make sense though, right? Because like, you know, in the 80s, we thought we were at the peak of everything. Materialism was at an all-time high. Everything was like, oh, this is so the future. And so the irony is that no matter when we think we're at the peak of anything, there's always forward that we could go.
Yeah, greatness is not what you think.
Yeah.
Greatness is not what you think.
So speaking of materialism and, you know, just sort of the boom, boom, go, go 80s,
right.
What is like the mecca of consumerism in America? Where do you think the first scene in the 80s takes place, Kelly?
I mean, I feel like this is a loaded question. So is it like Cleveland?
Close.
Okay, think more in like every town has this mecca of consumerism.
But there's
one. The mall.
But which mall?
Wow.
The
Colin,
Mall
you're asking...
of America.
What?
Wait, it is? Are you sure?
Yes, it's the Mall of America. What are you guys talking about? There was a roller coaster in the
she
background.
She lives in D.C.
Yeah, but that opening
scene
doesn't take place.
And she's watching the local
place.
News that night, and they talk about the woman who keeps saving people in the D.C. area.
Yeah, but she was in Minnesota for that opening scene.
Okay, this is the lie. It's not fucking Mall of America.
Well, yeah, but only because they have shitty fucking improv partners.
No, Colin, it's not the Mall of America.
All right. I'm sorry,
Colin. What the
fuck
is wrong with you two?
I forgot what we were
Because the second that Ryan started contradicting Colin, and I could feel Colin's
I'm so sorry,
betrayal.
Colin. I 100% forgot what we were doing.
Such a prick, Mogi. No, and actually the whole thing takes place in D.C.
Wait, that's a lie, because there's a part that it's not in D.C.
Ah.
I don't even know what to say. I'm so embarrassed that I forgot.
That's I was doing it too, Ryan. It's not just you.
No, yeah. Patrick is really flying under the radar here. He
yeah,
also...
I was going to let you take it. Let's talk about radar.
Oh, guess what?
What?
In one scene, they sneak in and they steal an old jet.
Okay.
Her and Steve.
Turn it invisible?
Steve, what's his last name? It's not Rogers. Steve Trevor.
Trevor.
Steve Trevor and Wonder Woman steal a jet.
Okay.
From the Smithsonian.
From the Smithsonian. You know how they keep old planes around?
Why are they stealing?
It's a whole thing because they have to go... They have to find Pedro Pascal because at this point he's left DC to go cause havoc in the Middle East for some reason.
Oh, wait, so Pedro Pascal is the stone?
No, he's a man, Kelly.
The idea that he would be the stone or become the stone in some sort of... That's stupid.
I think he is. I think I've uncovered a truth that he is a stone. Wait, he's a stone?
No, he runs this company about oil, black gold.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And his big thing is like, it could be for this at least at the beginning, this is what he says is his pitch, that he runs an oil company for everyone. So anybody could come buy stock in his oil.
Okay. So it's like open shares. Okay.
I think it's like almost an MLM of oil.
Okay. So if you buy shares, then you get all this oil and you're supposed to sell it to someone.
Yeah. You're supposed to get other people to buy more shares of oil.
Okay.
And his
So he's like in charge of he's like an oil magnet, but 80s style.
Yeah.
But he's also a stone. I am convinced that he's a stone.
He's also like very Trumpian. Like they make him orange.
He has this hair.
He says things are fake news.
No, he doesn't. Are you guys serious?
Mm-hmm.
Don't do this.
They do That's one. That's so they fucking do one embarrassing.
Wait,
news,
what? He not. Doesn't say fake news. You guys, no. He doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time he's a stone?
And well, it was because he was watching the local DC news, as Mogi was so eager to point out during my lie. And it was like showing clips of this like mysterious figure sort of like tying up bad guys and shit like that. It was kind of like a Peter Parker montage.
Right.
And then he goes like, oh, it's fake news. And he turns off the TV
and
then goes into explaining what his plot line is. Because he was talking to like, what's that actor? Not Anthony Hopkins. Ed Harris's character who gets killed.
Yeah.
So he literally said, so we are to believe that in this world.
Yeah, I guess he invented the term fake news.
He invented the term
fake
news.
Like, they don't say it, like, he doesn't like wink at the camera and say, just like Trump says in the future. He can't see the future. He's a stone.
But how is he not saying that, is what I'm saying.
I think they were trying to underline, I think there's some political subtext that became text. In that moment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay.
Because we haven't even really talked about what the stone does. It grants you wishes.
Or where the stone came from.
Okay. But wait. So what? So he's doing like mischief and it could result in people getting hurt and then she's saving people and he doesn't like that. Is that what's happening?
So there is a stone. Okay. And the stone comes from a robbery at the jewelry store at the mall.
Yeah, because in the back room they
the fake Mall of America
artifacts in the back room of the mall.
Right. And so this magic stone is there and they take it out and they take it to the museum where Wonder Woman just so happens to work.
Right.
Why is she working there? She's doing
that's
like
what Wonder Woman does. That's her cover.
That's what she does.
Okay. She works at the
Smithsonian.
She like, has a lot of weird like context
artifacts.
For artifacts.
Right.
She's like, I remember when that happened. And they're like, what?
She's like, oh, I mean, I read it in a book.
Okay.
But she's Gal Gadot. That's the other thing. And even rewatching it today. That's the other thing is so much she gets away with just by being the most beautiful human in the world.
Right.
Yeah, like acting.
That people just like, but people just accept whatever she said. They're like, yes. That sounds lovely.
Right.
Because she's just so pretty. Like, it's like.
They're distracted.
Do you guys remember in the first one when she hid a sword into a Nazi gala with an open back dress?
Yes.
That's
like
right.
She can get
That's
away
right.
with. That's the type of shit she can pull off.
But it's at the Smithsonian where she meets Kristen Wiig.
Oh, Kristen, is she like a researcher or something?
She is a rock spurt.
Yeah.
Oh, like geologist?
She's a rockspert who's also good at cryptozoology.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She specifically calls out gemology and cryptozoology as her interests.
Mm-hmm. And these sound like our lives, but I...
They are
no,
true.
No, those are real because there's a stone that's important and bad in the story. So obviously she's going to be connected to the stone. Wait, is she the stone? Is that the lie? No, but she turns into a cheetah. So...
Yeah, a cheetah can't be a stone.
Wait, but then maybe she is, because when you said that, I feel like maybe you're tricking me. So
no,
she's the
stone. Truth is, Kelly, she holds the stone and she says she wishes she was strong, sexy, and cool.
Yeah.
And then that turns her into... No, but that doesn't turn her into cheetah, because that just turns her into Smokey Eye. And then I think she just keeps being...
Well, so here's what happens is she makes this wish to be strong and sexy and cool. Uh-huh. And then she straps on a pair of roller skates.
No.
Uh-huh. And a
I think you're lying. It's rollerblades.
And some.
It's the 80s.
No, 84, though. That's too early for blades,
early.
No, right?
It's too early.
And like a headband and sunglasses. And she skates down the mall in D.C.
Okay.
Just jump kicking guys.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what?
With
but you forgot the part that sets this all up. It's because they do... Like, she's, like, the nerdy, bookish one that no one can see as beautiful. And, like, the hot research scientist asks her out, but then when he, like, stands her up, and the next day him and all his buddies are, like, laughing about it.
Yeah, it's
so
really
that's
mean.
That's what leads her to make this wish on a magic rock.
She's revenging.
Yeah, because she wants more male attention.
She's like Uma Thurman or... what's her name? Michelle Pfeiffer in the Batman movies.
Catwoman?
Okay.
Catwoman or that, or
that is accurate, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's an accident. I don't think the people making this movie were self-aware enough to realize that they were essentially just doing Batman Returns again.
Because like it's like, oh, bookish, like meek one.
Blonde, wavy hair with big glasses.
Yeah, that nobody likes or respects, and
turns
then she becomes
a cat.
Sexy cat person that's like very confident. And
okay, I have to also, there's a piece that we're kind of skimming that I think is important, and it's related to her getting asked out by that guy, but he stands her up and they make fun of him. So when she gets stood up, she asks Diana to have lunch with her.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
And it's pretty much a date. Like the extended eye contact, the like false humility, telling cute stories of life.
Yeah, it is shippable for sure.
Feels baity.
And Diana is like, I don't, or Barbara's like, you're so beautiful. I'm sure you go out all the time. You're just out. And then also it's like saying you're out as if she's saying out of the closet. But I don't think I don't know that the screenwriters knew what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, you seem like you're out all the time. Like you're out when you're on dates with girls. You're out, you're out, you're out, you're out, you're out, you're out, you're out. And then Diana's like, I'm not as out as you think, but like, tell me more about how beautiful I am.
Right. Wait, so I'm sorry. Chris Pine.
Oh, he's not there yet.
We haven't gotten to him yet.
Is he like a descendant of the guy from the first movie?
Oh no.
He's him? Oh, Diana makes a wish on the stone. She wishes that he was back and he comes back, right? Right, right?
Yep.
So he comes
back a little different.
He comes back in the body of someone who's just like living their life in 1984. So like this person's consciousness just vanished, and Steve Trevor's consciousness appears in this person's body. And then
is the person a descendant of him?
No, it's just a random guy.
He's a generically handsome guy too.
He's a generically handsome guy. But here's the thing. He doesn't actually look like Chris Pine. That is for our benefit, for the benefit of the audience.
Yeah.
Oh,
did you guys ever see that Steve Martin, Lily Tomlin movie?
Yes.
All of Me. Oh, no. Wow. I just pulled up the Google. Came out in 1984. Maybe that's the nod.
Wow.
So the thing is, Steve Martin drinks a vase of water that has Lily Tomlin's spirit in it, mm-hmm. and then he can have a conversation with her by looking in the mirror, and he sees Lily Tomlin. It's kind of like that. Like, only Diana can see Chris Pine. So, they use that actor like sparingly. So you see Chris Pine walking around, and then they'll remind us that it's not Chris Pine's body occasionally.
But I have a question. More like the parts where Steve Martin's asleep in All of Me.
Or it's like, do you remember the show Dead Like Me?
Yeah.
I feel like it's like that, mm-hmm. where it's like, to us, she looks the same, but we know that to everybody else, she looks like a different person.
Yeah.
Well, okay, does Diana feel bad that she has, like, murdered a man?
No, she's like, let's fuck.
Doesn't give two shits.
She's like,
does she know that this is what happened?
They fuck in his apartment.
Yeah, that's right.
She fucks the body of a dead man.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In his apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, makes fun of his fucking wardrobe.
Yep.
Which is just very 80s, because it is, in fact, 1984.
Right.
But Diana's been living in 1984, so this should be she should be used to all of this.
She's not a woman out of time. Clothes. Yeah.
Right.
But
right.
They do, like, an extended, like, God, how long would you say the trying on clothes montage was? Where he, like, puts on a funny hat and some goofy sunglasses.
And this is the dead man's clothes?
Yeah, this is Chris Pine in a dead man's body trying on his clothes and Gal Gadot laughing at him.
Okay.
And Kelly, if you had to guess, what banging 1980s song is this montage set to?
Boom, boom.
Oh my God, yes.
No, Kelly, did you secretly watch the movie?
Wait, is that really it?
Yes.
No. No, it's not.
No, it's a good one because it's quiet at certain parts so that they can have their little banter about parachute pants.
Right. Wait, so you know the part where there's the pause where it goes like...
No, So they like share a meaningful look. That's the lie. I made the lie on accident. It's not that song.
You're right. What song is it, Kelly?
Come on, Kelly. You're holding up the show.
Do you want me to tell you what the song is?
Yeah.
It's Walking on Sunshine.
No, it's not. It is?
You've never seen a montage to Walking on Sunshine?
So he's wearing he's doing a fashion show to Walking on Sunshine in a dead man's clothes, in a dead man's apartment, in a dead man's body,
mm-hmm.
while Gal Gadot mm-hmm. laughs.
Yeah. And says, like, not that one, honey buns, and pinches his butt.
Okay, she does not do that. That's a lie.
It's his cheek. She says, no, honey bun, and she pinches his cheek.
She gets very, like, she falls into the rhythm of their relationship, considering they fell in love in a war that and were only together for, like, a week.
Mm-hmm.
She falls into the rhythm of their relationship as if they've been together for 50 years.
Oh, very my God. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, you would think there'd be an awkward period for sure.
And because it's Gal Gadot, he's just, like, fine with it.
Yeah.
She has pictures in her house of her with his family. His, like, so he must have.
What?
So we saw him die. She must have gone to visit his family.
And then thought, like, let's take a picture?
Yeah, and let's put it up in my house.
And she like, builds a ranch and names it after him, calls it Trevor Ranch, and has a picture of Trevor Ranch up in her apartment.
And it is 1984. She has no color pictures in her house.
No, all black and white.
So that means the last time she took a photograph was 20 years earlier.
It was like at his funeral when she was like, hi, you don't know me, but I loved your son. Let's take a picture. I'll keep it forever.
Yes.
I'm also going to open a ranch called Trevor Ranch.
Which is so presumptuous.
Right. How would they?
She didn't marry him.
Huh. So does she spend very much time at this ranch, or is this like a vacation ranch?
She was there long enough to take one picture of her wearing a cowboy hat.
Yeah.
There's a picture of Gal wearing a cowboy hat.
Like a sepia tone framed picture of
like
her
the kind that you go with your family to Sam's Club and they give you a fake rifle.
It's like what do you call it?
Like
Dudley's
a
Wild West Town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Family portrait.
So so maybe we're wrong. Maybe she didn't actually open the ranch. She just got those pictures taken.
Yeah, those are from when she went to Six Flags.
Yeah, that could
be
from
Six Flags.
Well,
that was at the Mall of America.
And that's why maybe she only takes pictures at Six Flags. That's why she has no color photographs in her house.
Right.
There we go.
Okay. Wait, so then I just am very confused about like how the Cheetah story combines with Chris Pine's story, combines with Pedro Pascal being like a stone.
I feel like you've forgotten about Wishes.
Oh, right.
So that holds all of these stories together.
So she wished for him to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Cheetah wished to be sexy and cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pedro Pascal is the stone and has been the stone the whole time.
No, no, but that's
Kelly,
a lie.
If that were the case, how would you explain the fact that there was like a physical stone? Like there's a prop that they hold on to. How could he be the stone and there be a stone?
I think that's just a question that we don't know the answer to.
There's so much more of this movie that we haven't talked about yet.
What?
I know.
did you know that Pedro Pascal has a son?
Okay.
It's not named Grogu. I almost made that as a joke, but I wouldn't lie to you.
That's funny.
But he has a little son who he loves very much.
That's a lie. He hates his son.
Oh, Kelly.
See, now, actually, I feel like the movie is confused on this one.
No, you guys are both likes right. His son. He doesn't want his son around all the time.
But he's a businessman.
He's got business to do.
Okay. Okay, so he's had a son this whole time.
Mm-hmm. He's cute. Okay.
The son,
Alistair.
Like,
yeah.
Yes.
That's a lie. No way. That kid's name is Alistair.
It is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like you're picking up on the weirdness, but only because this is a weird ass movie.
Okay. Okay.
And Alistair just like he's the first one to have Uber or something, apparently, because he is what, 6 years old, five mm-hmm. years old? He's like the age of the Jerry Maguire kid. And he'll just show up at Pedro Pascal's office like two or three times.
Did he walk there?
Well, they kind of hint that he maybe has powers.
What? Well, yeah. Because his dad is a stone.
Yeah. Well, and all these wishes, like it's kind of implied that maybe he wished for
a son. He wished for a son on himself. He held himself and he was like, I wish I had a son. And then Alistair came to being.
The problem is he can't wish on himself. So he has to, anything he wants, he has to trick someone into wishing for him.
What?
Yeah, it's a
because
lot of
he's
legwork.
The stone.
This is like Anya in Buffy. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think he can wish on himself. That's a lie.
No, he can't. He can't.
No, it's
if
true.
He, if that was true, he would just wish for a million wishes.
That's right. True. Okay. So he tricked someone into he tricked some what, his like dead wife or something into like wanting a son.
It was like it was one of the people who was like invested in his Ponzi scheme oil company.
Uh-huh.
He's like, what's the most important thing to you? And he goes, like, well, my children. He's like, don't you believe all men should have a child? And then it's like, well, sure.
That's how
he
phrases it.
Yeah.
Don't you wish all men should have a child?
But like,
and then everyone has a kid after that.
Yeah.
That's a lie.
No, it's messy. It's
we
really
get to
messy.
See the beginning, though, of the end of his marriage. He's holding his wife up, like, to pose for a picture by a river.
Like
wait,
the,
I'm just, like, really
dirty
confused
dancing,
about how he's holding her up
like
for a picture.
Like Dirty Dancing.
Like, the way, okay, you know how you carry your wife over the threshold?
Yeah.
It's like that. But doing it, like, on a bridge.
What? Okay.
And then,
like, to drop her off of it?
Not on purpose.
Wait, so he does drop her?
It's a tragedy. Someone's running by and knocks into him.
What? No, Ryan, no,
and they
no.
Really,
I'm telling you, we watch a bride fall over a river.
And it's supposed to be the serious moment, but the like extra they use or the stunt guy they use to be the jogger, they put in like leg warmers and headband and a big yellow Walkman and shit. It was ridiculous.
Wait, so a jogger runs into Pedro Pascal, who's holding his wife as if crossing the threshold. For a photo, is there a photographer there? Does the photographer witness
it's like,
him drop his
it's
wife?
Like wedding photos. You know how people go to a pretty place to take their pictures? It's
so
like that.
So does the photographer like try to help or do they just take pictures of him?
Everyone's
dropping
like,
the wife?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, they like look over the edge and then the camera's like, you know, pointed up at them seeing.
Yeah,
her
we
die.
Just see what his face looked like. That's why he had to wish for a child.
Wait. Okay, but then why couldn't he wish for her to come back? So, okay, wait. So he's holding his, I just am like very like,
well, there are a lot of truths and a lot of lies happening right now, and we've not resolved any of them.
Okay. So let's put a pin in this and then move forward. Something else.
Okay,
and then,
wait. We started talking about airplanes.
Oh, right. They stole the airplane from the Smithsonian.
Okay, so Pedro Pascal is out there trying to spread his oil MLM across the world.
Okay.
And
he's
so,
in Egypt.
To Egypt. So Diana and Steve decide to steal a plane to go to Egypt.
Okay. I feel like it's not Egypt. I'm just going to say that for posterity's sake.
All right. Put a pin in that.
So they're in like a little fighter jet, which is, you know, perfectly fueled up, even though it's a plane sitting at the Smithsonian.
Oh, right. Dangerous. Okay.
And they're going to fly it all the way across the ocean, all the way to Egypt.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're stealing the plane, so obviously the authorities are like, hey, we'll shoot you down for stealing a plane. Mm-hmm. And Diana, at this point, goes, you know what? I think I can turn things invisible. And then she turns the plane invisible.
She says, I turned my little teacup invisible.
Like when she was a kid?
No, like that morning.
Like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Why?
And then she lost it. Because once it's invisible, you can't find it anymore.
Well, but now, like, how did she turn it
invisible?
She was
like,
Kelly,
bored.
At this point, you're asking the same question that everyone who actually saw the movie is asking.
Okay. So she thinks, okay, I can do a teacup, so why can't I do a
plane?
Well,
and she did the teacup okay. She's not sure that she's good at this.
Okay. Okay.
But she's like, let me try it with the plane.
And it works?
Turns the plane invisible, which then also makes it invisible to radar.
But that's not okay.
But
so
you know how
like,
radar works. It's like if you can see something with your eyes, the radar machine can also tell you that it's in fact there.
Right.
And then if you close your eyes,
then radar can't see you.
Radar doesn't work. Yeah.
Okay. If you can't
wait,
see
but
radar,
did you say
them?
Radar can't see you if you close your eyes?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's right. It's like a little kid's explanation of radar. It's like you can't see me, radar.
Oh, but wait, so you know what they can see from up there in the sky?
Is it just like them floating?
There's fireworks, Kelly.
Oh.
All
because
around.
Because it's Memorial Day weekend.
Yes. Why are they flying that plane so low?
Because Steve is like getting pretty wet off of flying a modern plane.
Into it. And he's kind of like, do you want to like make out while we drive through fireworks?
Ew, while he's driving?
Yeah.
He puts it on, he flicks with his knee, the autopilot.
Oh, and then also, did anyone else think it was weird that the seats were side by side in that plane? I've never seen that. I don't know much about planes, but do they have side by side seating in fighter jets?
No, I don't think so. I think you're supposed
to be able to cuddle, but it was like.
Yeah, it was like a love seat in the front. Yeah,
yeah it was like instead, like no stick shifts, no safety belts.
Yeah. Also, I want to test my memory on this. Is this right that like the plane is invisible, but through like the glass windshield, we can still see them?
Yes, through the glass windshield, the camera pushes through into the cockpit where we can now see them. But from inside, you can see everything. Like they're obviously sitting in a set that's
so it's
dressed
like a
up
one,
like an
two-way
airplane.
One-way mirror.
Yeah,
it's like a two-way one-way mirror.
It's,
yeah,
it's very similar to how everyone in the world sees generic guy, but we see Chris Pine.
So, but it is a question, like, is this just for us or is this?
Yeah, like, if you looked up in the sky, would you see, like, two people floating?
Okay, so
and
this
I think
is,
the
like,
no.
Diegetic sight or non-diegetic sight as opposed to music, right? Like, we're like, is this that everyone can see this or is this just for us, the audience, to see it?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That's a question that doesn't answer.
Not answered.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't
unclear.
Know.
Unclear.
Okay.
So then we get to Egypt.
Okay.
Egypt.
It's hard to talk about
like
this movie because
there.
So much fucked up shit actually happens. And I'm like, I want to tell you all of the real things as well as all the fibs.
Right.
Well, I think they probably are, because Gal is in this, I think that there probably is some racism towards some like Arabic people.
Oh, right. Absolutely.
There were a lot of rewrites on set per her request.
Yeah.
She was like, can we have them crawling in the dirt like the dogs they are?
Yeah.
Can they call everyone else infidels?
Yeah. Do they
Are
do
these
that?
Accents really strong enough?
We could step it up.
Oh my God. Okay.
So
they get to Egypt.
They get to Egypt. Okay, so Maxwell Lord, Pedro Pascal's character, has convinced...
Oh my God, I forgot he had a name.
What's his name?
Maxwell Lord.
Lord?
Max Lord.
Max Lord. Like Edgelord, but his father.
Right, okay.
Yeah, you know, like Edgelord.
Yeah, okay.
So he has some guy wish for, like, ultimate power or, like, his kingdom back or something. It's not totally clear. And then a wall springs up. A wall just, like, jumps out of the sand.
Like the Great Wall of China. Like, imagine there wasn't one, and then all of a sudden there is a Great Wall.
Okay.
And so, like, that guy gets, like, he gets his wish, and Max Lord is like, now I get access to all of the... This is what I'm deciding I get to take from your wish, because I'm the stone. I always have been the stone.
Uh-huh.
I get access to all of your oil.
That's what he wants? He's a fucking, like, trans-dimensional stone, and he wants oil?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Because that's, like, I get the feeling that in the form of Pedro Pascal, like, that's just his kick this time around.
Okay.
Like, don't you kind of get the sense that he's like, oh, it's very unclear, you know, like, you start to... Because they give you, like, this idea, like, oh, wow, Pedro Pascal, he's, like, so lucky, and he seems to have everything he wants, like, from the beginning. And then they just sort of drop on you that he is the stone. It's very confusing, to be
honest. Well, I think that's implied that the stone lives in many times and places throughout the world. And so, like, he is just the most American 80s that you can be. And that's to be oil crazy. Like the show Dallas. Sense.
Right.
So he's driving back from meeting with this oil guy on the only road in Egypt.
Yeah, it's the only way in or out because of the wall.
It's the only way. Wonder Woman and Steve Trevor in a cab just happen upon them.
Well, they're driving the other direction.
They're driving on the only road.
Yeah. They're driving on the only road.
I have a question. I know that, like, I guess I'm just, like, very full of nihilism. So, like, he just wants to control oil. That's what his thing is. Is he, like, a warlord? Aside from being a stone, like, what is, like,
he has shown no desire for war or conflict of any kind.
So he just wants the oil.
Well, and he wants people to keep making wishes.
Oh, that's right. I forgot he's a stone that wants wish people to wish on.
Yeah, he's got like a wish hunger.
Mm-hmm.
And he but had
it's
that.
Also, it's a weird thing where he just gets to decide the cost of the wish after the fact.
Yes.
So yeah. Let's say, Kelly, he tricks you into making a wish, right?
Right.
And then afterwards, he says, that's great. Your wish is granted. Now I'm taking two of your three cats. And that's it. Like, there's no arguing.
No take backs.
It's like...
He's like, I had your cats.
Oh.
And then he just does.
And then
so it's just like, it's not like you could predict what the cost of the wish would ever be.
No, and sometimes sometimes the cost seems to be more about Max Lord, and sometimes the cost is about the person who made the wish, but that isn't consistent either.
Right,
oh, like
right.
Here's an example. As Wonder Woman is, as they're driving on the only road in Egypt, and they cross by Max Lord, and she like jumps out of the car and like tries to, you know, fight the cars as they're driving away. She starts to lose her powers. That was the cost of her wish.
Oh yeah.
Wait. So the cost of her wish was not that we have to kill a random man and
no,
like because that seems like enough.
No,
the cost of the wish
was...
No one in this movie gives two fucks
about
this
No one cares
about
that man.
No one cares.
But they do care that Wonder Woman is... And she's still very strong. She's still stronger than any human.
Mm-hmm. Right, but she bleeds
not,
a little bit.
Yeah, she's not at her number one strength. Oh, and we didn't tell you, every single time someone makes a wish, there's a sound and visual cue so that we know that the wish actually happened.
Oh, this
and is
good.
And is this a diegetic sound?
Unclear.
Unclear,
the effect is diegetic, though, right?
I would
we
say,
see
the,
people's
the
hair.
Of...
It's a gust of wind, and it goes.
No. Okay. Have you guys seen the movie Wishmaster?
No.
Oh my God. I feel like this would exactly be Colin's. I'm just thinking. No, that's me. Sorry. I was trying to pull it up because it's a Robert Kurtzman movie. It's basically, and it has like a bunch of like cameos by like really famous horror people in it.
Ooh, I love this Wishmaster character design.
Yeah, no, it's great. There's a lot of really awesome practical in it. And it's just, it's like the same thing, right? It's like people wish things of this guy. And then he like is like, oh, now there's a cost.
So yeah, I think maybe someone who wrote this movie saw Wishmaster.
I'm going to tell you something really crazy. I think Wishmaster is better than Wonder Woman 84.
I think that is a guarantee of 80 to 90% of films.
Yeah. I think we've stumbled on a truth here.
This is a horrible movie. Kelly, did we not tell you?
It's horrible.
It's a bad movie.
This movie blows dogs.
I heard it was pretty bad. I heard it was pretty bad, but I didn't really know any details at all other than the cast. And I also learned about race, that there was racism.
Yeah, we kind of soft pedaled racism, but there's definitely some real racism.
Okay.
But so at this point, Kelly, I think we've gone through what, like an act and a half of the movie pretty accurately.
Yeah.
What?
Do you think we get like a first half recap from Kelly?
Yeah, I think that
to see how much of it she's been able to retain?
Okay. So Diana is a child. She's at Themyscira. She's doing a race. There's a bunch of adults there. She is a child. Oh, you guys didn't say. I'm going to say that she was not supposed to enter the race, but decided to. Like, she wasn't, like, when the race started, people were like, wait, what's that little girl doing there? Like that. And then I don't think that there's there are bows and arrows, right? Shoot, I can't remember. So there's like bows and arrows that are like in random places on the track, and it's kind of like parkour, and she's racing around and she falls behind because she trips and falls. But I think maybe that was a lie. Maybe she falls behind just because she's too slow. And then she gets a bow and arrow and she cuts across and takes a shortcut and then shoots a little balloon thing. And then it like does a color explosion, a paint explosion, and she wins. Or maybe she still doesn't even win. Maybe, you know what? Greatness is not what you think, right? So I think she still doesn't even win. And then smash cut two. The future. Welcome to the future. Pedro Pascal says, welcome to the future. We're in 1984. She is thriving. She's working at the Smithsonian, where she can use her special knowledge of arcane objects, but masquerading as research. She finds Kristen Wiig, it's not clear why she's there. I guess she just also works at the Smithsonian in like the gem department. She specializes in cryptozoology and gemology. Maybe that's why she turns into a cheetah. Because at first I was going to say, I don't see the relevance of the cryptozoology, but she turns into a cryptid? Is that what they're trying to say? So this whole time, there's been a stone. So Pedro Pascal shows up on a bunch of people's TVs. And he says, make a wish. And so people do. And the wishes start coming true, but like in bad ways. But then maybe that's just something we don't think about. But later we learn, oh my gosh, the wishes worked because he was a stone the whole time. And so they're wishing on the stone on him.
Somehow you got ahead of us, Kelly.
Seriously, I'm going to say to this point, you are 100% accurate. Like, you've omitted every single lie and told every plot point
really?
Of this fucking... Yes! It is bizarre. Because it sounds like the ramblings of a crazy person, but it's really what happened.
The plot of this dumbass movie.
Wait, really?
Well,
right at all.
Except one thing that you got righter than the movie got, which is the thing about her being into cryptozoology and then becoming a cheetah, they never tie that together.
No.
They leave it there.
Well, because like gemology is the stone, yes. Her connection to the stone.
Well, because the thing is, she ultimately, it's at a certain point, she gets in a fight with Wonder Woman that she wins. And after winning a fight, she says, I want to be the apex predator. Right. Even though by all measures she is, because she just beat Wonder Woman.
Well, and also like Wonder Woman was not saying she was an apex predator.
No.
So it's like really weird to like go up to somebody, like punch them in the face and be like, I want to be the apex predator. When they're like, I've never said that I
yeah.
I mean, professional wrestler Randy Orton says that shit all the time, but he is the apex predator.
Well, that's it.
Like that's the, he, you know, you can't beat him. It is. It's a crazy thing to say. Like,
right. Yes.
How would you phrase a wish if you wanted to be really strong and good at fighting?
Wait,
how
that's
would you
her
phrase
wish?
That?
I want to be the apex predator.
Well, no, because
her wish was
thing.
To be sexy and cool. And
she
here
we gets go. A double wish.
Yes.
She gets a double wish because the stone just decides she can, even though it's well established.
Is the stone there?
Yes.
The stone
she
is Pedro
the stone
Pascal.
Are like, yeah, her and the should, stone are like becoming buddies.
Should we peel the
yeah,
tooth back
I
on that one?
Yeah, I think we should, because we're at 50 minutes, and we could make this a part two, but I don't know that I have it in me
right.
to do that. So I think let's okay. get real now.
So there okay. there is a real stone. It really was at the jewelry store in the mall, and it really does grant
oh, yeah,
wishes.
It was in the back room at the jewelry store.
Oh, right. But isn't that just a piece of him?
No.
No.
He's not a stone?
He's trying to get the stone. But then dang. The stone does, he does metabolize the stone.
He
in his body like a diamond?
He sticks it up his butt. He
no,
butt chugs the stone.
Butt chugs Patrick!
The stone. Butt chugs the stone.
No, he wishes on the stone to become the stone.
What?
Which made zero sense to me at the time.
So that's like him. His way of asking for a million wishes.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
so he can wish
cannot,
on himself, but he can't wish on himself.
He cannot wish on himself. He has to get people to wish. And it's a weird combination of him tricking people to wish for what he wants
mm-hmm.
and just them wishing for whatever, and then him saying, okay, because you made a wish, I get two of your three cats, and like walking away.
Yep.
It's fucking it That's makes so zero weird. Sense.
It's also not even that he gets to collect something that the other person has control over. There is a point in this movie where he grants the president of the United States of America a
right.
wish, and in return he collects all of his respect, all of the respect of his office, and like things that a person could not give up. You know
right,
what I
like
mean?
Like tangible, non-tangible
yes.
things.
Yes. And the thing with Wonder Woman, and I guess because it's before Pedro Pascal is the stone, so it's not,
yeah.
we can't even blame Pedro Pascal for her mm-hmm. stupid exchange. But the idea that if you can have your boyfriend, but it's going to make you weak.
Right.
Someone yeah. wrote that shit. Fuck
yeah.
that shit.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is it really true, and you guys need to be honest with me, that he's in a dead man's body this whole time?
Yes.
It depends what? On how you define dead.
Well, he's no longer in his body and is taken over by
yes,
someone else.
But
he, yeah.
could but he does get his body back
down.
At the very end.
Yeah.
Well, because she has to give up Steve.
She gives up Steve so that she can be strong.
Okay. We have
but
to
she
should have
given
this.
Up Steve because it killed a guy.
No, she didn't care
no,
about
no,
that.
No, no.
She fucked a dead man's body in his own bed and didn't yep. even think twice about it.
So, okay, from what you know so far,
right?
How do you think you defeat like Pedro Pascal if he's powered by wishes and his
oh,
desire is to get people to wish? Like,
oh God, does she like just wish for everybody to get what they wish for?
No.
And then it just like uses everything
to,
up?
To break the spell, this very powerful spell that has created a great wall of China in Egypt. Created
oh, does she...
all of these things. What do you have to do to break this powerful stone spell that is... And the stone has lived throughout human history.
Right.
And
okay,
it is
so...
currently in the body of Max Lord.
Wait, so it moved to his body? Is there another stone?
No.
The original stone, is that somewhere?
It's destroyed.
No, it shattered, yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's very stupid and I hate this, but I suspect it's her being like, I reject the wish.
Yes.
You are so close. It's renounce.
Oh, yeah.
I renounce my wish.
All you have to do is say, what? I renounce my wish, and all of a sudden, all of the effects go away. The wish.
And by the way, this is something that we learn as Wonder Woman says it.
Yeah, we didn't know.
She says, I renounce my wish.
So was it a Hail Mary?
No,
she was so certain it was going to work.
She knew it was going to work.
The stone, it turns out, comes from ancient Greek gods.
Right. So she has some knowledge of it.
She has some like insight.
But she didn't tell
anybody? But they still need to like see a guy, some other person to explain it.
Yeah. They go to a guy with dreadlocks who they try to say is Incan.
Oh.
or Maya? Something.
Is this person played by like a mestizo actor? Unclear.
Yeah, unclear.
I mean, I want to say no. Okay. Because I think it's no.
Okay.
But it's also unclear.
So, isn't it played by like Ravi Patel?
Yeah, I think it's.
Patel in a dreadlock wig being Inca. I think.
Yes.
Am I remembering that
wrong? All right, let me look at the cast. I got him because I was.
I think that might be right.
Wait, this sounds like it's a lie, so I'm not
Ravi
totally
Patel.
Sure.
Okay, yes.
It was Ravi Patel in a dreadlock.
Yes.
Wig.
So we are expected to believe that through this entire like thing of this guy being like wishing for something and then it's terrible. Mm-hmm. No one has been like, I take it back. You have to say the specific words, I renounce my wish. Is that
thing? We've heard through history is that it just ended civilizations. So like
what did
the stone,
the presence of the stone.
The stone so, is like, what destroyed, yeah. What made the Roman Empire fell. It's what made
because people made wishes
because people got greedy, made wishes, and their own selfishness destroyed the empire.
And now, also, the and stone again, would do bad things to you arbitrarily.
Yes, yeah. There'd be costs to your wishes. So,
and again, it seems like there is a solid thematic through line with like the materialism of the 1980s and like corporate greed and that sort of thing, and people making wishes with abandon that have negative consequences and not giving them up. But that is not something that we explore here. That is not part of this movie.
To be fair, we do see a little girl shoplift and then she runs into a woman who is a bride being held aloft by her groom, and the bride does almost fall to her death. But Wonder Woman
she doesn't actually fall.
No, she does fall, but Wonder Woman stops her from smashing her head on the
river.
So this
is not Pedro Pascal's
I did one of those fun lies where it's like you keep some truth in it. So
right.
Yeah.
But even though that is ridiculous, I mean, but that's how we're introduced to the 80s, is a little girl shoplifting, right. And then she's running away because she got caught shoplifting, and she runs into a bride who falls off a river.
I mean, what would have been fun, right? This is set in the 80s, and your whole thing is greatness is not what we think. Like, if we were to see that, like, even Wonder Woman is, like, not immune to the materialism, and, like, maybe she, I mean, it kind of dangerously goes into the realm of like the boys, but like of corporatism and all of that. And then she has to be like, because to me, the thing that she's being too quote greedy about isn't a materialistic 80s thing. It's like a interpersonal.
Yeah. It's the love
albeit
of her
selfish
life
thing.
And she's been in mourning for him for 50 years or longer, 60, whatever it is, 80 years. I don't know a number.
So it would be, I mean, wouldn't it be more interesting, right, if he comes back and she's, like, kind of this, like, corporate hire more women oligarchs, like, kind of bullshit? I mean, not that she would be, and it's, but I think that's more interesting than, you know.
Yeah, it's weird to position her greed as her greed for, like, having her boyfriend back.
It just doesn't track with like the idea of like 80s materialism.
Right. Well, it does track with, which again, the movie doesn't choose to engage with this in any thoughtful way, but it does track with the working woman of the 80s who can't have it all.
Right.
So like when we meet her, she has no personal life, but she has a thriving career and she moonlights as a superhero. Mm-hmm. And then her boyfriend comes back and she literally, because her boyfriend is back, can't be good at being a superhero anymore.
Oh, I have a question. Is there actual chemistry between Cheetah and Diana?
Yes. I think
that
their
date. Scene,
like, honestly, if someone asked me to lunch and made that kind of eye contact with me over lunch, I'd be like, oh shit, I accidentally went on a date.
Yeah, this is a date. Okay.
Yeah, 100%.
And I don't know if it was a choice that Kristen Wiig and Gal made like themselves. I don't know if it was in the script, but it's, and then later, and we didn't get into this because there's still a whole act of the movie we haven't talked about. But
is it just like a lot of fighting?
Yeah. But Barbara meets Pedro Pascal and like...
Who's Barbara?
That's Kristen Wiig. Kristen Wiig and Pedro Pascal are like in their own, you know, they're being their characters, but they're like pretty much flirting in front of Gal Gadot, and Gal Gadot is very unhappy about it.
Oh, yeah. She's jealous.
She's pissed. And she's just like, and it's also the first time she's seen Barbara since Barbara got sexy or, you know.
Right. Oh, so she doesn't like that Barbara's sexier than her.
Well, mm-mm. I think it's sexier than her. But also, like, this was my friend that I liked when my mousy friend. And now my mousy friend is this like bubbly other person with leggings on.
Well, mm-hmm. And also the thing that struck me is like this was day two of Gal Gadot knowing Barbara. Yes. Right? So it was like, as far as she knows, she had a rough afternoon and then they went and got lunch. And then right. The next
maybe
day,
what you
she
saw was an
right.
anomaly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You have no idea that she's not like a flirty, fun lady who talks to boys.
So, like, okay. She did have a very bad day because she also, after she gave dinner to her only friend, a homeless man, she was mm-hmm. Assaulted in the park. And
oh, no.
Gal Gadot came and saved her.
But in like a sneaky way so that like she wouldn't know that, you know, she was Wonder Woman.
Yeah, but Wonder Woman knows that she knows that she saved Kristen Wiig from.
Yeah.
That guy.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Anyway, so a lot more happens.
Yeah.
Oh, Alistair does exist and is named Alistair.
And is he the result of a wish?
No, he's just Pedro Pascal's real son.
Actual Pedro Pascal's son?
Well, sure.
Possibly.
For sure.
Unknown.
Sure.
I mean, we don't know. There's no way to find out.
Okay, so she renounces her wish, and I assume she like defeats Cheetah. She fights Cheetah and defeats her.
Oh, honey.
She fights her once at the White House and gets beat by her.
Right.
And then after fighting her at the White House, she renounces her wish, says goodbye to Steve.
And then she stops by her apartment.
Cheetah's because, apartment.
No.
Wonder Woman stops
she
by
grabs
Wonder
Trevor.
Woman's apartment. What? Because what, Kyle?
She grabs, what's his name? Trevor, and they head to the apartment together because she's got a story to tell.
Oh, that's right. We hadn't talked about the story.
Right.
What's she's her story?
The story,
which is another.
Is about,
God, this yeah. is should have been the framing device of the movie.
Yes, it,
the story
of
is
the
about
stupid Olympics. It should have been this story, exactly how the first one began.
The story is about Asteria. Is that her name?
I think so.
She is the Amazon that they like left behind in the real world to fight off the armies of men as the Amazons were escaping to Themyscira. And they left her with this badass gold armor. You've seen this armor on posters and stuff. And Diana just has the armor. She found it.
Right. Like it's at the fucking lobby of the Arc Light. It's just it's just there.
So after she renounces her wish, she stops by her apartment to pick up this armor.
Oh.
Even though her
she's
powers
had the
are
whole
back.
Time?
She's had the whole time.
Use it to fight anybody?
No, but she was just using it as an artifact.
But it's
or
armor.
Something. It's in I her closet. Like
if you're a warrior, you should be.
But
I don't
that's
know.
The other thing. And again, the movie doesn't actually textually, none of this is there. But like she hasn't really been a warrior. She's been showing up at malls. Saving brides from getting their brain smashed in. Like, she's not really doing the Wonder Woman thing. She's not a warrior full time.
Okay.
She just kind of whips around stopping goofy 80s crime.
Okay.
So now she's kitted out in, and the part that you said already of like, he's on TV and he's on all the screens and everyone is making wishes, that is happening.
Because there's a particle satellite. Let's not forget about that detail.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh. Colin, you want to explain the particle satellite?
You have to touch the stone or right. Pedro Pascal to make a wish.
So
and so
he's
Pedro,
like cloning himself?
No, there. I don't know if this is a real thing. Someone who knows science, tell me, but it sounds fucking bullshit. There is a satellite that the U.S. government has. He finds out when he is hanging out with the president that shoots particles down. So Pedro Pascal decides that if he goes to the satellite control room and puts himself on TV, his particles will touch everyone that's watching TV. Did I get that right, Patrick? Yeah. Is that
wait? So do they have to touch their screen?
Nope.
No.
They don't even need to be looking at the screen.
I just feel like just two more sentences we could have made it come together.
It's
you know?
Almost as if they were like, "Hey, I know we already wrote this whole thing about how you have to touch the stone to make a wish, but I don't want that to be a thing anymore."
Yeah, just go back, find, delete.
Thank God we invented the particle satellite.
Also, and we didn't. So she puts on this armor. Also, Asteria was never heard from again. And they make it sound like Wonder Woman, when she says when she came to Earth, she did look for Asteria, and all she found was the armor.
Did she fall through like a quantum wormhole or something, and she's Asteria?
No, that would have been more interesting too.
But no. Okay, great.
So Wonder Woman puts on this thing, and then she jumps really high.
The armor helps her do that?
And then starts flying.
She's sad. No, it's her sadness that helps her fly.
She's
because Trevor's gone.
Trevor's out.
Because she renounces her wish.
Yeah.
And oh my God, so much of this movie takes place off screen. It's infuriating. Mm-hmm. Trevor disappears off screen. She transforms into Golden Wonder Woman off screen. Chitara is born off screen.
That's so weird. Because, you know, bizarre. Classic like villain transformation, right? Like you see them kind of being like, wait, what's happening to me? And right. Like, you know.
No,
I regret my wish, but I don't recant it.
I don't want to be the alpha predator. No, none of that. But they do.
What's the cost for her wishes?
We don't see it. I mean, I think
her humanity, her niceness.
Yeah, because she is mean to the guy. You know, the guy who tried to like assault her and rape her.
Right.
She's really mean to him later in the movie. And they play it like, oh, my God. And it's like, yeah, no, this guy is a serial sexual assaulter. Yeah, I'm okay that he gets thrown into some garbage trucks, or maybe he gets hit by a garbage truck. Either way, he deserves it.
Yeah, right.
And her homeless friend that she fed the night before is like, Barbara, well, I don't even know you anymore.
Oh my God, no!
That was a perfect impression.
Why did we tell Kelly we weren't going to do lies anymore? Because all of this sounds so fake.
It all sounds so
fake. This sounds like really cheesy.
It's really cheesy.
It's super cheesy.
It's bad. When they introduce, and they do like a little flashback of it, when they introduce Asteria like 2 hours in the movie, it makes you go, why the fuck wasn't this the movie?
Wait, so Asteria, do we see the character of Asteria ever?
We see like an artful portrayal in the armor. I don't know.
What happened to her?
Unknown. It is unknown at the... unknown at this point. We are going to keep talking, and we will talk about her again.
She'll come back up. But we have to get to Pedro Pascal. He's on TV. He's saying, make wishes. One woman says, I wish my coworker would go back to Ireland.
What?
No, I thought it was like her husband or boyfriend. And she said, I wish the police would round up and ship out all the Irish.
What the fuck is that? And why would you say Irish? Like, if you're going to be making someone be...
It was not in the United States. It was in the Troubles in England. And she essentially says...
I thought
it was her coworker, but it's so much worse if it's her boyfriend. She's like pissed off at him because he's on her nerves. And she's like, I wish that the fucking police would go round up all you Irish. So police start rounding up all the Irish.
I'm sorry. So we are meant to believe that this woman's wish caused the
I think we're supposed to
genocide
inflamed it, but only until she renounces her wish. But then he wishes, well, I wish you would fucking drop. Oh, maybe does he tell her to drop dead first?
Well, then how does she survive?
I wish all you people would go back to where you came from. I don't know why I'm doing an Irish accent. She was English.
but
I wish for you to drop dead.
But it's stupid. She does not. Yeah. Everyone knows drop dead means grab your arm, down, over, lights out. She's still struggling for like a whole minute. That's
long
not
enough.
Dropping dead. That's a bad execution of that wish.
So this is chaos, right? Bedlam everywhere in the streets of everywhere.
Wait, so I'm sorry. Are we to believe, I know I'm really stuck on this Irish thing, but like, are we to believe that like the Northern Irish conflict did not occur now in this universe because Wonder Woman renounced her wish?
I think it's just more like, oh, look, if you could wish things and you were racist, that could really be dangerous. I think it's trying to say not everyone deserves a wish.
Yeah,
racist
I think it was
people
happening.
Don't deserve to get what they want. Is this?
It was happening in the way that we're aware of it and in our history. But then she was like, well, now I have a weapon in our.
I see.
Yeah.
In our little war.
Yeah, don't give wishes to bad people.
Okay. But it's also wishes to anyone. Because Wonder Woman is a good
people. She was being hyperbolic. She wasn't even making a sincere wish. And neither was he.
I know. And I did mention the Trumpian thing, but I think that, like, all of the things that we've talked about, like, that's not really there. It's not, no, someone purposely put in the Trump stuff. That is, like, the filmmakers, like, think they're being clever.
How brave.
Well, I mean, on a related note, I heard that Pinterest has banned him, so.
That's really
Did they really? He had a Pinterest?
I'm not sure.
No, but that's really
My SO sent me a picture of all the platforms that have banned him.
Pinterest is such a bandwagon.
I don't know if it's real or not, but it's funny as hell.
That's funny.
I mean, I'm sure you had a toxic Pinterest, but
toxic Pinterest.
Toxic Pinterest. I love it.
Okay, so
so Diana goes to confront Max Lord. She's wearing the armor.
Yeah.
She's in the armor. She is flying, and she's also lassoing lightning on her way there.
Yeah.
Oh, no, she's more powerful. Why? Because of the armor?
And because she killed her boyfriend.
Yeah.
So it's from sadness.
No, because literally he was, like, stopping her from being strong by existing.
And it's very much like her deciding she can turn a plane invisible. She just sort of starts jumping.
Yep.
And then decides that she can lasso lightning, and then decides she can fly.
So she could have always done this?
Yes.
Well, not until she decides to.
She allegory, had to ladies. Believe that she could, because greatness wasn't what she thought.
But greatness is exactly what she thought. She thought it would be great if she could do that, and then she did.
No, she thought greatness was saving brides from rivers and doing petty 80s crime.
Or you know winning in this Olympics thing. That's maybe what she thought it was.
Yeah.
You know what? You know the fable about, like, the guy that, like, is walking along the beach and he's, like, throwing starfish back in the ocean? And someone's like, why are you doing that? It's not going to make a difference. And then he's like, well, it makes a difference to this starfish. Aww. This movie's moral is the opposite. It's like, if all you do is save brides and, like, go to the mall, then you're not helping.
Yeah.
It's like the opposite of grassroots movements.
Yeah.
You need to undo global magic in one shot in the last 5 minutes of the movie, or it doesn't count for shit.
Well, yes, and it's also like, what she was doing was helping people, and saying, I renounce my wish or I renounce you is not enough.
No.
But it is in this movie. That does solve all the problems.
So wait, so she is actually, there is a fight scene between her and Pedro Pascal.
So there's a fight scene between her and the cheetah.
Yeah.
Oh.
And the armor in this fight proves to be worth less, because the cheetah can rip it apart with her bare hands.
Yep.
She does?
She's not just a predator, Patrick.
Oh,
I know.
Apex.
She's the apex predator.
But let's... Okay, so...
So she doesn't have armor anymore at the end of the movie?
She discovers that she can fly on her own, classic, like, Wonder Woman, right?
Okay.
Doesn't need an invisible plane, doesn't need golden wings. Off camera, she puts on the golden wings, and the next time we see her, she's wearing golden wings to fly in. Literally in the first minute of the fight, the golden wings are ripped off.
Yeah.
They serve no purpose to the movie, quite
whatsoever.
Literally.
Okay. Okay, so then, so she fights Cheetah. So does Cheetah defeat her at this point?
No, she
defeats Cheetah here.
Cheetah's dead?
We're supposed to believe she is.
Okay, she fell under some rubble or something.
Drowning. False drowning.
Yeah.
Okay, and then she's, like, face off with Pedro Pascal, and then she does the reverse. Is that when she renounces her wish?
So she, like, takes the camera or something in this studio and tells everyone else that they need to renounce their wishes.
And meanwhile, remember, she's just some lady.
Right.
She's not
no one knows
Wonder
Woman.
She is. She is a hot lady, though.
She is
very
beautiful.
Lady.
And if somebody on Wednesday the 6th had said, Ryan, just say renounce my wish and this will unhappen, I would have said it.
And
so
honestly,
if I'm really being honest, if just some beautiful woman came on TV and was like, this all can end if you just say I renounce my wish, I would have said it. I didn't even do a wish. I would say it.
But what cost? What if Fletcher disappeared?
What if that was your wish?
That was so mean.
That's so
I'm just saying, let's get real about it. I am the stone.
But the question,
I can just take away whatever I want.
The question, would I undo the Capitol being taken over if it meant that I lost my dog? Yes, but that's very sad, Colin.
That's yeah. real. And you're better than me because no, you can't have my fucking my
little
boy.
Silvio from his cold dead fucking hands.
Exactly. I may have to. Maybe the wish is I have to kill Silvio in order to save
America. Oh my god.
Oh man.
You're gonna have to take him.
So truly her Wonder Woman having the audacity to be like, yes, this will work. I will go on TV and tell people to renounce their wish, and obviously they'll do it, is truly like the movie version of her singing Imagine.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this will help.
Everyone will see this, and it'll make it better for everyone.
Yeah.
And it does.
It's also just living in the time that we live in now where people can't put on a fucking mask or stay the fuck home.
Yeah.
It's ludicrous to think that everyone would give back a wish. Mm-hmm. A wish!
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, maybe that's why it had to take place in the 80s.
Why?
Because you think people... I don't know, because
people don't...
...minded?
Maybe. I mean, it's on the heels of the Miracle on Ice. You know, that was just four short years ago.
No, the 80s is like
the 80s individualism.
Time.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like American Dream, every man for himself, hands off government.
That's true. And 84 is what Reagan's, I think Reagan's second term began in 84.
I think it could have worked in the 90s.
It's like. Except instead of Wonder Woman, it would have been Eddie Vedder, like going on TV and telling people to fucking fly, right? Yeah,
if Eddie Vedder did it, come on.
I'm
Eddie
just
Vedder,
you know,
Alanis Morissette, and Kurt Lawler.
People were just like really delusional about how good the world was in the 90s. I feel like people would have done it. Like they would have, been like, you know, I just left Multicultural Day at my elementary school, and now I'm gonna, and it's you know, recycle everybody. That'll fucking save the world. And the economy's great. We're feeling great.
I think we bounced back. You were less cynical in the 90s.
I mean,
because
I
also
think people...
in the 90s is when O.J. Simpson happened. It's when Rodney King happened. It's when we had riots.
Here's
also in the 90s is when we were children.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I tried.
No, but I'm saying
I'm with you, Colin. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no. I was less cynical. And also, like, I think generally, like, white people were less cynical. I think there's people look back now at the 90s and they're like, oh, like, things were so great then when Bill Clinton was president. And it's like, but there's like, for you, maybe. You just weren't listening.
So you're saying everyone else is looking at me going like, what the fuck were you so happy about back then?
Yeah, yeah.
And Colin's just like, I was a child. Mm-hmm.
I had like every Ninja Turtle.
Yeah.
And a Splinter.
Someone remind me what happens at the end with like his kid. Like
okay,
his
so his kid goes to find him and is trapped and is going to die.
Okay.
And somehow Pedro Pascal knows this.
Because he's
Wonder Woman says, like, but what about your child?
And so his, oh, he, for, okay, part of his magic with the particle thing is he can hear all the wishes in his head.
So does someone wish for his child to be fucking
dead?
No,
I think his son wishes for his dad.
Oh, so
like,
he hears
I
that.
Wish. I need to.
There's a point in the movie earlier where Alistair is about to wish for like his dad to be with him all the time, and he pulls his hands away, and it's like, no, don't wish for that.
Right, but then he says, "I wish." So two characters get a double wish because the kid wishes for his power. So I thought it was going to be, oh, turns out the kid is the stone in the end, but they didn't even follow through with that. No.
Wouldn't it be so amazing if he wished? Because, right, remember, every time you wish something from the stone, it's like, oh, but not in a way that you thought.
Right.
Like, what, or it's kind of that.
Sometimes.
Or that's what it should be. That's what it should be, but it's
but
never.
But, like, what if it's like, it goes into his son, and then his son is the stone, and it's like he, like dehumanizes his son.
Yeah, he, like, dams his little boy
cool,
to what he.
But that's not. Instead, at the end, he runs and he's crying and he hugs his son.
Oh, cool.
He's going to be a good dad now, but he also maybe is going to go to prison.
So he doesn't even die?
Nope.
Nobody.
What's even a bunch lower, of fucking pussies?
Even,
nobody dies.
The people that made this movie thought that they were like, oh, we're really like sticking it to the man. This guy's going to be fake Donald Trump. And he doesn't even fucking die?
He doesn't die. I don't even know that he goes to prison. I'm saying
Kelly,
he goes to prison like he might, but I don't think he does.
It's worse than you think as far as fucking 2.5 hours becoming totally meaningless. They literally wish away the events of the movie.
Don't do this to me.
It all means nothing.
You know, that's how Wishmaster ends.
No, I think spoilers.
The more you
so
tell
excited.
Us, I think that maybe someone did see Wishmaster and was like, this would be cool. And then by they just didn't translate it very well into a Wonder Woman movie.
Honestly, I do really recommend Wishmaster. It's a very fun, schlocky movie.
Yeah.
And yet, even though it's schlocky, I think it is actually like better crafted and the rules, well, sometimes make more sense.
Okay, but I haven't told you about the Christmas scene.
There's a Christmas
yes.
scene?
Okay. So it's Christmas time. And as you know, there's always those markets on the streets of D.C. during Christmas. Just like all, yeah. like Europeans.
Yeah, it looks like the set of Muppet Christmas Carol Switch.
Wait, what was your reference, Colin?
I said it looks like the set of Princess Switch.
It does. They do. They make it look like, and those kind of little markets exist in the world, but it's not like D.C. is known for the Christmas market.
No.
But there's a Christmas market in the streets of D.C. And and now she likes the world. So Diana is walking through the Christmas market and she sees this guy in a dashing scarf and blazer combo.
What? Okay.
And she,
who's this guy?
And she says hi to him. It's the guy who Steve Trevor's body took over. Or
I'm
know what I mean.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So is she supposed to start to try and romance him? Like
she kind of flirts with him, and he's like, mm-hmm, "Nice to meet you," and runs away. So maybe he remembers.
Well, he
and he's maybe like, he's gay. Maybe he's having
Who
PTSD.
Because truly, I hate to like, you know, like bring the episode down, but Wonder Woman like raped a guy.
Him, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Certainly didn't
what
have
the
his
fuck
consent
is that? Who, how many people said yes to what was happening in this movie?
Well, not one. Nobody guy.
Did not give consent.
I just feel like it's crazy
that nobody at a company like Warner, like there, it's not. We're not talking about like a guy like this podcast. Would a executive greenlit this podcast that we're doing right now? It's completely not the function of the show usually. It's
right.
Kind of confusing, especially if you have seen the movie. I guess it's less confusing if you haven't seen the movie. You're as lost as Kelly. But it was just us. There was nobody else to say. At Warner Brothers, there's so many different people who saw this and no one said, like, this is a little icky.
Yeah.
Well, and ickiness, yes, the ickiness is awful and like that it should be struck for that reason alone, but it's just overly complicated.
Yeah.
If she wishes for Steve Trevor to be back, he should just be back.
Yep.
Why that guy's body?
You can make an icky movie that is like a good storytelling. This did not.
Wait, I do have a question though, literally though, why that guy's body? Like, was there a reason?
No,
because he looks sort of like him. That's the only explanation I can think
of. One of those things, and here's my hypothesis, or one hypothesis. I think this person watched Wishmaster, and they watched other movies. They watched Aladdin. And so in their head, they're like, oh, there's got to be rules. You can't just have wishes with no rules. So no bringing people back from the dead, no making anyone fall in love with you. I can't remember what the third rule is. No wishing for more wishes. And so this person had in his head that those were rules he had to follow.
Yeah.
But he never established any, and I'm saying I don't know if a man or a woman wrote this movie, but whoever wrote this movie, they didn't like establish those rules within the context of the movie. So we don't, maybe you could wish for more wishes in this movie. Maybe you could bring someone back from the dead.
I am going to tell you, I'm going to make a statement and it's going to sound very, very mean, but I mean it.
Wow.
So
is it about one of us?
No. Okay. I believe that these rules existed in this writer's head. This might make me unemployable. This is why I'm worried to say it.
Okay.
I believe that
anybody
these
who
rules...
got an hour and 24 minutes into this episode is a true fan. So
I thought you were going to say carries no water in Hollywood.
Maybe also true, but whoever's made it this far is a true SDS fan. And so I don't think that whatever you're about to say could really hurt you in their eyes.
Okay. No, I might change my mind completely. What if this is my favorite movie once I watch it? Who knows?
Keep us updated.
But I do believe that like this rule system or like some sense of logic did exist in someone's head. I just think that there was a lack of skill set to implement that on the page. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's fair.
There was a lack of skill in being able to communicate all of the wonderful, beautiful ideas that were existing in this person's head. They just couldn't figure out how to cogently put it down.
But remember, also, they made it so that she could turn a plane invisible.
Yeah.
And she explains her power while she's sitting in the passenger seat of the plane, saying, I did this once. I'm going to do it again.
Did we see her do that earlier in the movie?
We could have seen her. I know. We could have seen her turn something invisible. Because that's the other thing, is they do a very bad job of showing us what Diana's life is like at the beginning of the movie. Like, we see her do 80s hijinks, saving people. But, like, does she eat dinner alone every night? Well, we do see her drink wine alone once. But, like...
And she goes on an accidental date.
She goes on an accidental date. But, like, does she sit in her house, like, turning things invisible? That's interesting. Like, does she wonder about what her purpose is? Does she keep all these things around from the past because she doesn't know where she fits in the future?
These are all questions unasked and unanswered. Show, don't tell is not occurring here at all.
But I know you were very, very worried about Asteria and what happened with that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What the fuck is that?
Essentially meaningless.
Well, there's the post-credit sequence.
Yeah. Ryan and Colin and I were watching this together, and Colin was in Florida while we were watching it, so he was three hours later.
It was very late for him.
It was 2:45 in the morning when this fucking pile of dog
shit ended. Everyone else in Colin's house was asleep.
Oh, my dad came out and shushed me at one point.
Oh, no, he didn't. Beautiful. Father.
So the second the credits roll, Colin's like, all right, night, guys. Clear.
Okay, so he didn't see this. So do you even know about this, Colin?
I have no idea. So
we were talking
about maybe they do a false version and see if we can suss it out together.
Yeah, yeah.
I think
it's so nice to not be alone.
I don't know. I don't want to do a false version.
Then just do a true one.
Okay, people are walking through a marketplace. In Greece? Did I make up where they are?
Ancient times?
No, modern times.
No, modern day.
Okay.
Or maybe the 80s, unclear.
Or it could be the 80s. And a thing starts to fall.
Okay. Like a stand?
A building?
Maybe a telephone pole?
Yeah.
Okay,
but
so
it's like a market. It's like a market. So it might be like the thing holding up one of the storefronts, the market.
Right. Okay, so a big thing.
A big thing starts to fall, but then a hand goes up and catches it.
Uh-huh.
Wait, what? Uh-huh. Who is this person in a cloak?
I don't know.
We see her face. It's Linda Carter.
Wait.
What? Oh. She's Asteria.
She's Asteria.
Yep.
So Asteria's just been hiding in Greece this whole time?
She's just been living her
somewhere.
Life.
Or somewhere. Yeah.
Well, she's doing what Diana thought she could do, which is just be a small-time hero in whatever town she lives.
Guys, can I pitch another movie? What if we started with Asteria, and this is the story that little Diana is being told as a child of this amazing warrior who fought to her last breath to protect her Amazon sisters. And so Diana holds her on a pedestal this whole time. Mm-hmm. And then even she goes on digs and stuff to like find whatever happened to Asteria. I want to find, you know, the final moments of my sister in arms. And she discovers the uniform, and she's just like, wow. She's like, this is the way you should fight. Your whole life should be about fighting to your last breath.
Mm-hmm.
And then she finds Asteria, and Asteria has just been like quietly saving people, but doesn't want to be a symbol of hope, doesn't want anyone to know about her.
That's why she buried her outfit.
Maybe she's like jaded. She's been hurt in the past, and she's jaded. She's kind of like Woody Harrelson in Hunger Games.
Yes, 100%. She's also drunk. Yeah. Let's make her drunk.
Yeah, she's drunk. Yeah,
Yeah. Give me that Wonder Woman Haymitch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman Haymitch. And Diana is really caught because she really believed in this woman as a symbol. But this woman is just a being, is complicated, and it's more than that. And she also feels the pull of not being a symbol because she wants to just hide in her grief.
Oh, also, maybe, okay, and then we could still have the theme, greatness is not what you think, right? And at first, we could think, oh, it's about don't meet your heroes, blah, 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 right? And so at first, we're like, oh, that's what it is. Because then she's like, so we could start out the movie, and of course, they would never do something this, like, nihilistic, I guess. But so you could think, like, oh, it's about her trying to, like, train Asteria to like, or like break her out of her funk or whatever, so that she can be go back to being a superhero. And it's maybe it's like you can't purport to know someone else's life.
100%.
And like, you can't expect to come into someone's life and know them for 3 days and be like, I'm going to change you.
Right. And the key is not to be a superhero like what of let. It's not about becoming a legend. It's about being the best hero that you can be. Your greatness only your understanding of greatness can only lie in relation to yourself because it's the best you can be.
Yep. And if you want Chris Pine in the movie. Yes. What you do is your villain is some sort of conjurer mm-hmm. who is mm-hmm. bringing Chris Pine back into Diana's life to distract her from the like morality tale that she's on. And then Asteria helps her figure out that it's all a lie. Mm-hmm. And they have a battle that's like, no, you can't take my ghost husband away from me.
But guess what? Ghost husband? He's the same guy. So you know what? He sacrifices his life again because that was what he was always going to do because that's his greatness. That's his greatest gift is to save people by sacrificing mm-hmm. his life.
Everyone has their own greatness and it's not for you, Wonder Woman, to decide what that is.
Oh, that's satisfying.
Greatness is not what you think.
Yeah.
And you get more Linda Carter, which I think a grumpy Linda Carter would be really fun.
Yeah.
I'm getting like tinges of like Queen Maeve from The Boys too for her.
Ooh, okay.
I don't know if anyone's watched that. It's kind of just like
defeated.
Like, yeah. Like just like I am not anything. Like I am so nothing outside of the like outside of the legend. I'm just nothing.
Oh. Yes.
But then maybe she finds a way to like find herself without being the thing that Wonder Woman thinks she should be.
Exactly. She's her own thing.
Yeah, that's cool. Damn, that's way better.
So let's just pretend that that's the truth and everything else has been a lie. I renounce.
Well, we
this
can
movie.
Just. Why don't we just do that thing that, what the fuck, what's his name? Zack Snyder. We can do a version
an
like that
SDS
where we're like,
cut?
Where we're like, this is like an alternate universe, but like, I'm not going to explore like the other stuff. So like, it's just a movie.
Oh my God. Are we going to have to do this with the Snyder cut? Is one of us
hey
gonna
guys.
No, Patrick's like, hey guys.
No, let's not talk about this anymore.
Relationships! Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.